B-Pod Studios.
And Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 8 o'clock hour brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. On the line with us right now as we are in the window for franchise tags in the NFL, we have Adam Schefter on the line with us, brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective, rothmanspine.com. Adam Schefter, good morning, sir.
Mark, Trey, Bob, Philadelphia, good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
First and foremost, how was your NBA sideline reporting gig? It looked like it went well. I caught a little bit of it. How was it for you?
Well, I love that. I mean, it's just so different and so different from what I do right now, and it's a welcome change. It's great. The Joe Flacco news broke on the way out there. I was not expecting that. So basically, as soon as we landed in Minnesota, I had to get to a TV studio there. That kind of threw a little monkey wrench in the day. I wanted to go to the Timberwolves shoot around. I didn't get to do that, and had to go to a studio to report on Joe Flacco being traded to Denver. But other than that, it was an excellent day.
Yeah, very surprising. So no hints were dropped that something like that could be happening. I mean, obviously, the Broncos were rumored to be after a quarterback, but Joe Flacco, I guess, never really jumped to anybody's mind.
Well, I actually knew that that was a guy that they were looking at the last couple of weeks. And then last week, on Monday or so, they made the decision that that was the guy that they were going to go pursue. And talks with the Ravens and Broncos started really on Monday and went until Wednesday morning when they agreed on the compensation, which is a mid-round pick, which is thought to be a fourth-round pick. And the two sides agreed to the deal that cannot be processed until March 13th. So deal's in place. Once the new league year begins next month, then they could make that trade official. And I think, obviously, it's got a little bit of bearing on Nick Foles and his situation, because Denver, let's assume it gets back a fourth-round pick in this particular deal, or it gives up a fourth-round pick to Baltimore. Now you're Philadelphia, you're shopping Nick Foles, you're the Eagles. You got a lot of decisions to make here. You've got contract options that you've got to decide on here on Lane Johnson, Timmy Jernigan, Malcolm Jenkins, Jason Peters, Brandon Brooks, Rodney McLeod. They've got all these options that they've got to make decisions on. A lot of those are good players. A lot of them they'll bring back. I would expect they bring back most all of them, to be perfectly frank. And then they've got to figure out if they can place the franchise tag on Foles and find a landing spot for him.
Do you still think that they'll find that way? The words you've used is creative enough or to get away, or smart enough to find a way to trade Nick Foles. Do you still see that happening?
Yeah, I do, because I just think that they are a very smart, shrewd organization. And I don't think the Eagles are in the habit of letting starting caliber quarterbacks just walk out the door without getting anything back and not having any say in where he goes. To me, in the end, I don't see that happening. I think that somehow they find a way to trade him, which would mean they put the franchise tag on him. And again, we've been waiting to see how it plays out exactly. And no one knows for sure, but I just come back to that fact that they're so smart and so good at what they do that they will find a way to get this done.
So why wouldn't then Nick Foles fight that? The stories out there about the CBA, there's a clause in there where you can fight it. Why not?
I can tell you this. I don't know the exact reasoning. I can't speak at length, but I was told flat out that is false. False. Okay, if the Eagles want to use their franchise tag on Nick Foles with the sole intent of trying to trade him, they can. Okay, so I don't know how it plays out. Like I said, we're going to see here, but that's not going to inhibit their decision, I don't believe.
Interesting, Adam. I have to ask you this because there's huge news in baseball from yesterday.
Yeah.
As a guy with a big football background and obviously background now in basketball for a while as well, when you see a 10-year $300 million contract signed in sports, what is your reaction to it based off your experiences learning about all these different kinds of contracts?
Right. You know, what's interesting is that everybody comes at it from a different standpoint in a different sense, right? So my sense when I see that is that I say, wow. So Aaron Rodgers signed a contract that was, I don't remember the exact final number, $150, $60, $70 million. And Manny Machado gets double that.
Yeah.
Double that. Okay, we've got players in the NFL that are unbelievable players. Like Saquon Barkley, I think his total contract's for, like, as a rookie, $24, $25, $26 million. And Manny Machado is in a $300 million contract. I think the length and the size of it, it just kind of takes your breath away. And it also makes you wonder where it's going. I don't even know how to pronounce the third baseman in Colorado's name. Nelson Arenado? Am I saying
that? Yes, Arenado.
Nolan Arenado.
Nolan Arenado. Okay, so again, I also think of comps. So when I see a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers get $35 million a year, I say, okay, well, what's Russell Wilson going to get when his contract comes up? Carson Wentz, when his contract comes up, we now have new landmarks. And so Nelson Arenado, why isn't he going to get $300-plus million now? And why isn't every baseball player going to get $300-plus million? I mean, help me out here. Is Manny Machado that stupendous a player?
Nope.
I don't know.
But that's just the glory, I guess, of the CBA in baseball. And the Players Association, they've had him on a short leash for a very long time.
Yeah, I know, but don't players like to base their contracts off? Like, there's a running back I know, and he reached out to me during the season, and he was talking about his contract coming up, and he was saying, hey, I'm as good as Jerick McKinnon, I'm as good as Carlos Hyde. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, those guys, let's just say they got $7 million, $6, $7 million last offseason. And this running back felt he was in their category. And maybe he is, and maybe he isn't. But the point is that these guys judge themselves next to their peers. And so if their peers get X, they believe they're worth X no matter what. Mm-hmm. They don't factor in the other circumstances, okay? And Trey, you tell me, when you were playing, you looked at other tackles, I'm sure, and you said, well, if this guy's that, I deserve that.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah, right? So that's my point on Manny Machado. He gets $300 million. I don't know who, and I don't know what teams, and I don't know what positions, but I guarantee you there are 10, 20, 30 baseball players right now saying, well, we just got the bottom line for my new deal. I'm getting $300 million.
Well, talking about worth, Shefty, I want to drift back to football here. We were talking about some of the Eagles' free agents yesterday, and Brandon Graham is one that is really a sticking point here because of the value he has, what he means to this team, but can you hold on to him? What I'm wondering from you is, what is his value around the league of Brandon Graham? I know you have it's a defensive line heavy draft.
Yep.
He's 29 years old now. Yep. What is his value, and maybe what are the chances that he does stick back here in Philadelphia?
Well, here's the issue, okay? You got basically a shortage of pass rushers, okay? So when you get a pass rusher out there, okay, he's going to get paid. And Brandon Graham is going to get paid, and he's a good player. And Philly knows he's a good player, and other teams know he's a good player. I'm sure Philly will want him back, but it's going to be tough to afford him and bring him back just because of the demand. Now, when you look out there and you look at all the players who are going to be tagged, okay, DeMarcus Lawrence is not going to be a true free agent because he'll get tagged. Dee Ford will get tagged. There are other pass rushers.
Clowney
will get tagged. So the top pass rushers come off the market. And because they come off the market, it puts a premium on guys like Brandon Graham who might get to the market. Okay, and if he gets to the market, someone's going to pay him way more than you would think, because it's one of the most in-demand skills and one of the most sought-after commodities out there. Somebody who could rush the passer. Brandon Graham can rush the passer. And not only that, he's very good, but he's not good enough to be franchise tagged. So, for example, you got a guy like Trey Flowers in New England, who's a very good player, who the Patriots would like to re-sign, who they may or may not be able to re-sign. But they're not going to tag him. And if they don't tag him, somebody, I believe, is going to give Trey Flowers $14, $15 million a year. Not because he's this unbelievable pass rusher. It's not Manny Machado dollars, but it's still pretty good. And Brandon Graham would be in the same exact category of somebody who is a pass rusher, who has a skill that everybody seeks, and even though the draft is loaded with those players, you can't count on any one of those guys in the draft providing your pass rush this upcoming season as a rookie. That's just not feasible and realistic. Yes, you might be able to get a pass rusher. That would be a good thing, but you can't count on those people providing the rush that you need.
Speaking with Adam Schefter, Adam, so if the Eagles, go back to Nick Foles, if they do trade him, is the most likely scenario Jacksonville, as some people are speculating?
Yeah, I would think that is the most likely scenario. Now, the question is whether they would trade for him, whether they wouldn't. There are other teams out there that have quarterback questions and needs. Miami, Washington, the Giants. You're not going to trade him in a division. That's not going to happen. And then you don't know if there's a team like, I'm just making this up, all of a sudden maybe Oakland moves on from Derek Carr. And there's an opening. We haven't seen any evidence of that, but there's always surprising things that happen. Okay, so you just have to wait and see. So it doesn't look like there's an obvious amount of landing spots. That's why I'm curious to see how the whole thing plays out. But Nick Foles is a starting caliber quarterback in this league, and so it's up to Philadelphia to go find a trade partner. Jacksonville makes sense, but we have to see whether the Jaguars would be willing to do that.
All right, Shefty, last thing for you. Your daughter came with you on this flight. Was she doing some kind of broadcasting as well?
Yeah, she...
How'd she do?
Well, what happened was she was supposed to basically do the NBA All-Star Rising Stars on Thursday. And because she was doing it on Thursday in Charlotte, I was going with her. I couldn't go from Minnesota back to New York, get her, and then bring her down to Charlotte in time to get the interview. So I brought her with me to Minnesota.
Oh.
So Dylan got the royal treatment here, going to do the Timberwolves and Rockets. You know, we're on the court before the game, hanging with our friend Chris Paul and watching the beard and going to meet with the coaches, and Dylan's a part of that. And then we went from there. She had a couple of mornings. We were up at 4:30 both days for her to fly to Minnesota on Wednesday and then to fly to Charlotte on Thursday. But on Thursday, Wednesday was my work day for the NBA, and Thursday was her work day for the NBA. And Thursday she got to sit down and talk with De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley and Jaren Jackson and Luka Doncic and all the rising stars in the NBA. And it was kind of cool because she's 10 years old, and they're what, 19, 20, 21? They're not that much older.
Yeah.
You know, like, I actually had that thought at one point. I'm like, well, you know, back in my prior life, when I was, I dated women who were 10 years younger than me.
that's crazy. Well, that's great. She had a great time, man. Good for you guys getting to spend that time.
She did a good job, and it was great father-daughter time.
Beautiful. Good beautiful. Adam, great. Thanks for joining us. Adam Schefter, ladies and gentlemen. Always good to have you on.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day and a great week. We'll talk next week from the Combine in Indianapolis.
Sounds good, Shefty. Thanks very much, man. That's going to be interesting. But here's what I take out of that. The CBA, whatever was reported by Mike Florio, something he pointed out, not going to happen. If the Eagles want to trade Nick Foles, they're going to trade Nick Foles.
Right.
That's a very, very interesting thing that Adam Schefter just talked about there. There's no, it's not like you snap your fingers as a player and say, not going to be tagged.
Yeah.
$25 million. Nick Foles is going to put in his back pocket. Hmm. Interesting. 610-632-0975. We got Dave. Dave and Belmar coming up. Let's talk about Bryce Harper. Open lines after that. 610-632-0975. You still feel like the Phillies are going to land Bryce Harper. We'll get into some things with John Middleton coming up in a minute here, as well as those positives and negatives again regarding bringing in a guy like Bryce Harper. And then we'll let you hear from Buster Olney, his take on the whole situation, as well as Jason Starr coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees.
Come on, Jay Middles. Where that money at?
Jay Middles.
Pay that man his money. He likes...
He likes that money. You got to give him that money. That's the win or loss of this all. That's the W and the L. Got to go out and get Harper at this point. Can't walk away from free agency empty-handed. Don't tell me about that Andrew McCutchen fella. Don't tell me about David Robertson. Oh, no. It's two players. It's been about two players the entire time. One is gone, 10 years, $300 million out to the Padres. And then you have, of course, here in Philadelphia now the opportunity to get Bryce Harper for whatever it takes. Scott Boras knows that he's got John Middleton by the cojones right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, you want my guy? Okay, $350. Did I say 350? I actually meant 400. Like, it really would not surprise me if we see a number that we just cannot believe. Like $300 million, we knew that was the report for Bryce Harper, not Manny Machado, out of the gates. But I also think we knew we went into free agency thinking both these players could very well get over $300 million. I think 340 gets it done. I know 326 has been the number a lot of people have looked at because that'll beat the number assigned to Giancarlo Stanton's deal with New York, previously with the Marlins. But I think the deal that gets it done is upwards around $340 million because it's going to take that much for Scott Boras to stroke his own ego and put his player in the best possible position. Not to win necessarily, but to at least make money. His job isn't to put him in a scenario to win. His job is to make him money. I do believe the best place to win, though, is here in Philadelphia. Young team to grow with, a good team to grow with. You're maybe a pitcher away from really being a legitimate shot, a legitimate World Series contender again. Now, we're going to hear from Buster Olney in a second. We'll play some cuts from ESPN yesterday, as well as Jason Stark, who was on with Mike Missinelli yesterday afternoon, about how they really see all this playing out. Right now, we got Dave and Belmar on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave, you still want Bryce Harper?
Guys, listen, let me just kind of break it down for you. I don't want him anymore, and I'll tell you, he never wanted us. Let's look at the bottom line. Not one time did he come to Philadelphia and entertain anything. He did not come to Citizens Bank Park. He didn't even step anywhere near the city, number one. We had to go out to Las Vegas to go see him and entertain him. So that's number one. Number two, I just feel like he used the Phillies as the biggest bargaining chip ever. You know, John Middleton coming out, I'm going to spend crazy money, stupid money. He used us like, I mean, I feel like I'm like the other boyfriend in a situation, you know. I just feel like this girl likes this other guy, and now she's just using me to get the better boyfriend.
Dave, you're acting, I know what you're saying, but Dave, you're acting like it already happened.
Well, listen, let me tell you this. Here's the next tip. Manny Machado going to San Diego. Do you really think that the Dodgers are going to sit there and not compete with that? He's going to the Dodgers now. I truly believe the Dodgers now will lay down the money. And listen, I don't want to call up and be, you know, the bad guy in this whole situation. But
interesting philosophy, interesting theory.
But I'm just a little upset that I really want Bryce Harper to come here. I really thought it would pull Philadelphia above the rest. But you know what? At this point, he never wanted to come here. He really, truly never been in Las Vegas.
We don't know that yet. Look, I understand the evidence you pointed to is that he didn't meet with the Phillies until they went out to him in Vegas well after the winter meetings when he lives in Vegas. Like, I get that. But, I mean, the agent's going to do the talking anyway. I think Bryce Harper went into free agency and went into the offseason being well aware of the fact that he might not sign a deal until March. So I really don't put a lot in the fact that he wasn't at the winter meetings.
And you know the sad part about this whole situation? Reese Hoskins, he actually knows what's going to happen. He kind of has an idea that he's not coming here, and he's got to keep it quiet. Kind of puts him in a bad situation. Listen, I hope he comes here. I really do hope he comes. I'm ready to buy my 10-game plan, my 17-game plan. But well, I'm not going to buy it. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I think you'll end up buying it because I think Harper's still coming here. Now, you mentioned Reese Hoskins. So before I get to the Buster Olney stuff as well as the Jason Stark stuff, I want you to hear from Reese Hoskins yesterday because he was asked about his optimism in being able to land one of these guys. And he said he felt like, yeah, Manny Machado or Bryce Harper, he was confident that they land one of them. Machado now off the board. So is he still confident?
I think you said a couple weeks ago that you were optimistic you would get one of the two. Is that optimism increased after today's news?
I don't think it changes at all, quite honestly, yeah.
So still optimistic. Mm. Didn't say it increased, which was the question, but he did say it didn't change him at all. He was optimistic weeks ago. He was optimistic yesterday. You know who's probably the most happy-go-lucky with the Phillies right now?
No, who?
Michael Franco.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Moustakas signs and Machado goes and signs. Yeah.
And you're
all of a sudden,
Scott,
he's settling in.
And he's looking at Scott Kingery being like, yeah, all right, good luck.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know,
you're a utility guy.
Bueno suerte. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Suerte? I don't remember. Anyways, good luck is basically what he's saying.
Okay.
So that's what you got. Now let's listen to Buster Olney and Jason Sark, because here's what happens. Buster Olney was asked yesterday on ESPN how the Harper camp would be responding to the 10-year, $300 million deal by Machado.
You're high-fiving each other, because it probably only cements the fact that Bryce is going to wind up with the biggest contract in Major League Baseball history. I've been told that by agents that in recent days. They're following this like Wall Street brokers following the market. In their mind, there's no question Bryce is going to work out absolutely great. But in the end, I think when Harper's deal is announced, you're feeling good about the chances he's going to break Giancarlo's record of 325.
I absolutely think he's getting more than 325. And I know, again, the 326 number has been out there just so he can be the highest paid player ever in the sport, right? I don't think that happens. I think it goes much higher than that.
Yeah.
Because now, again, the case is you are sitting across from John Middleton if you're Scott Boras, and you're like, dude, do I have other suitors? Guess what? You don't even know.
Yeah.
The only person you're betting against right now is yourself. You could become the biggest. Can I go out there and maybe sign with the Giants for 300 or 325 and get that number? Sure, maybe. Can I go back to Washington for that? Maybe. But you're the guy that wants to walk back in his fan base, the conquering hero. You're the one that wants to have that triumph, that Roman Empire style triumph through the streets, right? You want to be able to parade around. You're the guy that wants that triumph. They didn't say anything like that in San Francisco. They didn't say anything like that in Chicago. They didn't say anything like that with the D.C. No, you're the guy that stuck his chest out and spoke boldly. You're the guy that also wants to make sure that you can cash in on that and make sure you walk away as the hero in this scenario. That's the big thing that Scott Boras has over a guy like Jay Middles, for instance. So he was asked. Now, here's the interesting thing. Buster Olney is right now at Nationals camp. He's with the Nationals in spring training, making his rounds, and he's with the Nationals while he's saying this stuff. So he was asked about the potential of maybe Washington throwing themselves really back into the mix.
I have absolutely gotten no sense that they would jump back into the mix, and I've heard of no other teams that are aggressive. I will tell you that the White Sox have been stalking both Machado and Harper. If there's a surprise team, as of today, I would say it'd be the White Sox, but I think he's going to wind up with the Phillies.
All right, so we have that going for us. Buster Olney, who's got his finger on the pulse of everything in Major League Baseball, still feels as if Harper most likely winds up with the Phillies. Good. Chicago possibly coming out of this with them does scare you just a little bit. L.A., I wouldn't put it past them to make a push for Bryce Harper. I wouldn't put it past them even a little bit. It's interesting to see how all this plays out. Now, the big thing that came out, Andy Martino reported this from Sportsnet New York, saying that the word around Bryce Harper is still that he does not like Philadelphia. It wasn't clarified whether or not it's the city, whether or not it's the organization, maybe one or two people particular in the organization. That was not made clear. When I asked Andy Martino about it yesterday on Philly Sports Talk, he said he didn't know. He was not led to believe one or the other, whether it was an organizational thing or whether or not it was a Philadelphia thing. But here he is, Jason Stark, yesterday with Mike Missinelli. With Mike Missinelli, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, was asked about that talk and whether or not he had heard that talk of Bryce Harper not liking Philly.
I've been hearing that for a while. Mm-hmm. I think it's been apparent, right? We're over 3 months into free agency, 3.5 months. Scott Boras has clearly been waiting around for something. Is it just money? I don't think it is. I think his preference is to be somewhere else. I think his preference is still to go back to Washington. I think that's totally in the owner's hands. And I think this one is in the owner's hands in Philadelphia.
I think it goes without saying. It all comes down to Jay Middles. This is the situation for John Middleton. I said it before, I'll say it again. Do you want to be John Middleton, the brash owner, the bold owner, the guy that sticks his chest out, the guy that puts his money where his mouth is?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to be Adam Aaron 2.0? I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Pretty much.
Anytime somebody brings up the, I want my bleeping trophy back, anytime he talks about wanting to be bold or any of that, people will roll their eyes or say whatever when it comes to John Middleton if they don't get this done. And here's the other interesting thing about this. Todd Zielecki on MLB.com yesterday, Phillies.com, wrote a very interesting take on everything with Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. And here's what he said. The Phillies were not, this is not a quote from anybody. This is Todd Zielecki's take from his story. The Phillies were not completely crushed when Tuesday's development took place with Manny Machado. They had some misgivings about signing Machado following his Johnny Hustle comments last fall in the NLCS. If the club was going to give somebody $300 million, they wanted to feel confident that person would not get booed on opening day. That's some pressure from the fan base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as well there should be.
And absolutely there should be.
Yep.
But how much pressure is going to come from the fan base if they don't go out there and get one of these big names?
Do you think they understand the magnitude of how bad it'll be?
I think they do. I don't think they're idiots. I will say I don't think
they're idiots, yeah. But I think they might be underplaying how ticked off this fan base will be.
I will say this. Again, as I've met John Middleton a number of times, I've interviewed the man, he does want to win and he does not want to look like an idiot. He does not want to look stupid.
Well, he will look stupid if they don't get him.
The whole organization will, absolutely. He's the guy that said stupid money. When you said stupid money, you put all the cards on the table. Scott Boras probably was doing cartwheels when he heard that comment. And now you're going to sit across from a guy like John Middleton, if you're Scott Boras, and you want to say, yeah, remember that? Guess what? You want the face of baseball playing for your organization? You want that? Here's the price tag. You don't want to look like an idiot going back to Citizens Bank Park? Here's the price tag.
It'll be ugly. And it's a shame, too, because the team's better. But it'll be ugly if they don't get him.
I think this team, from an 80-win team last year that only won 19 games from August 6th on, this team should have been in the playoffs last year, and they folded. They collapsed as the season went on. 19 games they won between the beginning of August and the end of the season. Unbelievable. But you've added very good talent on this team. Top-notch talent in some cases. When you look at a guy like JT Realmuto, you've upgraded your catcher position amazingly. You've upgraded your first base position with Rhys Hoskins. You've upgraded the outfield, the back end of the bullpen. You've made major upgrades to this organization. It's all for naught because you didn't add a guy that could contend for an MVP every single year he's here like Bryce Harper. That's what people see right now.
And dollars and cents as the reason is not going to cut it.
No, not even a little bit.
What's the number you throw then? All right, Scott.
340.
310, 340.
Yeah, 340.
Okay.
Yeah, 10 years, yeah. 340. Okay. Yes, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, 340, 350.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah, whatever it takes. Yeah, pretty much.
I'm hoping it's just a situation where it's like, yeah, you want to go flirt with other teams? Yeah, go flirt with other teams. Just let us know. Just let us know what you want.
So if he signs with somebody under, I would assume, under 330, 340, whatever it takes, if he signs with another team for under that, then it's true. He did not want to come to Philadelphia.
No, we'll know how much he hated Philly.
Because, I mean, us average people know that 340 has to be the number, 330, 340, 350, that you have to throw out.
And then the fan base should not get on the ownership about it then, because then now that's on the player for not wanting to come here. And then that's him.
Doesn't matter.
I'm just saying, though.
You're right. You're not wrong. Yeah. You're absolutely right, Trey. Yeah. But that's not, public perception-wise, that's not the way it'll go down.
Yeah.
Well, then it goes back to, okay, but you got outbid for Manny Machado by San Diego. Because that's what happened. They got outbid. They came out and said it. Yeah. Overvaluation.
Yeah.
Exceeded valuation.
That is the concern. When Matt Klentak addressed the media, and we'll talk to Scott Lauber of Philly.com, who was down there in Clearwater, he actually picked up a lot of traction on his tweet when he put out the quote from Matt Klentak.
The one that's been rattling around my head for 24 hours now.
Again, this contract, meaning Manny Machado's contract, if true, the way it was reported, exceeded their evaluation of Manny Machado. How they valued Manny Machado.
Exceeding valuation.
Now, here's the key. Here's what you got to keep in mind. I believe that in Major League Baseball, Matt Klentak and Andy McPhail know Manny Machado almost better than anybody, considering they've drafted him. And even when they left the Orioles organization, they still followed his career and they still have contacts there, people to talk to, all that stuff. They know Manny Machado almost better than anybody. I think they had their number on him. He exceeded it. The Padres beat him for it. They said, nope, not worth it. Now let's turn our sights on a guy like Bryce Harper. Mm-hmm. Jim Salisbury alluded to that yesterday. Todd Zielecki wrote about it today. That's kind of what's out there when it comes to the Phillies and evaluating this talent and also putting a price tag on this talent. Manny Machado, their number one target, not worth it. Now all of a sudden, for a guy that was their... Look, one or 1A, whatever, it's second place in the Phillies' eyes.
Right.
Now the guy that they thought was their second prize, their consolation prize, they're going to pull up $340 million for? Pay the man his money and make it happen.
Yeah, they better.
Mm. Brian Westchester, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Brian? You want Harper?
No, I don't want Harper.
Why not?
Well, one, it would allow Klintak to keep his job for a couple more years, and I want the man out of town as quickly as possible.
Wait, who's keeping his job?
Klintak.
Why are you mad at Klintak right now?
I'm mad at Klintak because he's a complete incompetent boob who for 3 years has drafted basically no one. They've given him so much money, baseball, in terms of international signing money. He hasn't signed anyone. Why is Soto a National and not a Philly?
Yeah, they didn't get Soto. They didn't get Giovanni Soto, no.
Yeah, so, I mean, for Harper, I'm looking at the Phillies, and I'm like, Klintak could not put a team around me to win a championship, and the weight of a championship is going to be on my shoulders. I don't see it happening.
All right, you don't have Soto, but you have JT Realmuto. I'd rather have him than Soto.
But I'm saying there's no foundation to this organization for which a championship can be built around. They have nothing. The Padres have like 9 minor leaguers in the top 50.
Yeah, they have the best one in baseball, yes.
The Phillies had 3 in the top 100, and they just traded one. There's no foundation this organization. And they could care less if they get Harper or Machado. 20,000 zombies are going to walk through those turnstiles no matter what they put out there.
Yeah, the thing is, the goal is to get about 46,000 zombies, if you want to call it that. And those zombies aren't going to be zombies if they do get Bryce Harper. They're going to get 46,000 people regularly, and it is going to be a party at CBP, just like it was in 07 through 2011.
Well, you're probably right. There will be 40,000 people, and that's why I'm saying I don't want it to happen because this organization does not deserve that kind of support.
If they go out and get it done like this there, Brian, they deserve the support.
No. They robbed us for 7 years of any meaningful baseball, and they still going forward. When you look out into the horizon, there are no stars in the minor league system. You might have some nice players, but there's nothing there. And so you get Harper, and what do you have? You have, okay, a team that can contend, but then what? They're not winning a championship with this front office.
I disagree. I think this is an aggressive front office. I think this is the wrong time to try to bark up that tree. I mean, you want to talk about they go out there and they're able to get a guy like Gene Segura through a trade. They're able to get a guy like JT Realmuto, the best catcher in baseball. Two great moves made by the front office this offseason. I'm not going to be mad at Matt Klintak if they walk away from free agency without Bryce Harper or Manny Machado. I'm going to be mad at John Middleton. That's the guy that made the proclamation. Matt Klintak has done his job to this point. Now it's up to ownership to pony up the money and say, go make this happen. Come here.
Well, to Brian's point about the minor leagues, isn't that exactly why you would go get somebody like Bryce Harper?
Yeah, exactly.
26 years old?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would
do that. And by the way, there's three positional players in the top 100 prospects.
Oh, drat.
So it's not nothing.
Exactly.
And then you add pitchers. They probably have 6 guys maybe in the top 100 prospects. No, so it's not barren.
No, not even a little bit. It's not the Padres. Again, not best ever. Jesus. The best in baseball right now. It's definitely not that. But hey, look, you got to break some eggs if you want to make the omelets right. And you made a nice omelet by getting JT Realmuto.
I like omelets.
I'm a big fan of omelets.
Extra cheese.
Definitely.
Yes.
610.
Bryce Harper's that cheese.
And some fine bacon. 610-632-0975 or Scrapple, depending what your preference is. 610-632-0975. Got wide open lines if you want to jump on right now. 610-632-0975. Coming up 9 o'clock, we'll talk to Scott Lauber of Philly.com. Time of the Fanatic is 842.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, Andrew Salchunas on the updates for you today. All things Manny Machado, Bryce Harper today. You were asking for it, Trey. It finally happened. Something finally happened. Two things actually happened.
Uh-huh.
Machado went to the Padres. And then your Flyers played a game.
Yes.
And they got their ass kicked last night.
Yeah, but it was still a game.
Carter Hart had a cameo in the game.
Yeah.
Three goals, and it was like, all right, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
My time's up.
Yeah.
I like Carter Hart saying after the game last night that he likes to play every game. That he wants to play every game. He didn't give you the, well, you know, it's a tough sport, and it's a very demanding position. I like to play every night, says Carter Hart.
How old is he, 20?
12, I believe.
Yeah,
no, he's 20.
Babyface. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he said, I'll be back Thursday. Don't worry.
See that?
Yeah, I love Montreal, that. Here I come.
Love that kid. We've been waiting for that kid for a long time. But unfortunately, he lost to one of the teams in the NHL.
Teams, yeah.
Yeah, he lost to the Lightning. Did you bet the game?
Excuse me?
Did you bet the game?
I did not.
Did you ever bet hockey?
I have. And I won.
Good for you. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Good for you, buddy.
Yeah.
Very nice. Scott Larver is going to be joining us in a little bit here. Talk all things about baseball free agency. Get his confidence level in a guy like Bryce Harper, possibly, potentially, finally signing with the Phillies and getting that deal done. A lot of people looking forward to getting things done here in Philadelphia, and he's the guy that we want to see come here to Philadelphia to finally get it done. But there is just a lot of now pessimism in Philly. Because Machado's off the board, so now you don't feel as good. You don't feel like there's two shots right there. You feel like there's an opportunity to really cash in and hopefully do that with a guy like Manny, with a guy like Bryce Harper. Chris in Plymouth Meeting, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Got my sleeping bag in case I'm stuck at work today, okay?
Oh, okay.
Good move by you.
Oh, hey, thanks for reminding me, Chris. Just real quick for people, we talked to Brittany Shipp earlier in the program from NBC 10. 2 to 4 inches expected starting around 9 o'clock today. The first alert goes off at 9 o'clock today. And then later on, 9 p.m., it goes away. 2 to 4 inches in the city, 3 to 5 Lehigh Valley, 1 to 3 down the shore.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Yours didn't sound the same, though.
I'm still hoping the Phillies get Harper, and if they do, this has been an incredibly successful offseason. But let's say they don't. Then look at the pieces we got. We got Real Muto, but he's on a 1-year contract, right?
He's got two more years of control.
Okay, all right. So that's good. Segura's got a multi-year.
Segura, multi-year, yes. I believe that wasn't he at least three?
I thought it was three, yeah.
Yeah.
And then McCutcheon is getting older. I'm not saying he's over the hill, but each year he'll get a little weaker.
Right.
And then we added a relief pitcher, and year to year, you know, you never know what a relief pitcher is going to give you. So, you know, we basically made next year better too, but long term, I'm not sure that we're all that much stronger based on this offseason if we don't get Harper.
I think they have gone from an 80-win team to a team that will now compete for a wild card. And I don't think they're a team that will fall apart like they did at the end of last year. I do think, and you got to keep in mind, not only are you upgrading your left field position with Andrew McCutcheon, you're also upgrading your first base spot with Rhys Hoskins. And I thought this was interesting that Hoskins actually did talk about how his play in the field affected his play at the plate. Like, he was pressing too much at the plate because he knew he was struggling in the outfield, and he wanted to do too much while he had opportunities at the plate because he wanted to make up for his fielding. Thought that was interesting.
Okay, way better at first, and left field got better even before we got McCutcheon because it meant you didn't have Hoskins playing left field.
Right.
Right? So we've got three potential all-stars, right? Real Muto, Hoskins, and Segura?
Right. Yeah.
We've got two solid positions between left field and second base. We've got two subpar positions, third base and right field, and then center field's a total wild card.
Is Franco subpar? I mean, 270, 22, fielded the position pretty well last year?
Like a 2.5 war. His fielding is not impressive. His overall hitting is, for a third baseman, is below average.
The on-base percentage is garbage with Michael Franco. I thought, though, he actually came on strong last year. When you really break it down, he had one good month, and then he had another great month. I think he had 330 in July, if I'm not mistaken. I think that was his hot month where he hit about 330. But you need to see a lot more of that. It looked like he put some things together last year, supposedly, and this seems like it's cliche every time you have the full squad report to Clearwater, but it seems like he came in the best shape that he's ever come in and all that other stuff. So hopefully this whole Manny Machado stuff in the offseason lit a fire under him. And hopefully last year he really started to, I don't know, put it together as a big leaguer.
Yeah, I don't think he wasn't trying last year. I don't think he's that kind of a player. So I'm not sure that the lighting the fire under him does that much of an improvement. But yeah, I'd love to see him hit better. But I see him as an 84-win team right now. I think without Harper, I think that they're maybe making us get a little excited through August, but by the end of the season, we're waving at the wild card again.
I see an 88-win team right now as it's constructed. I see a team that will be competing and flirting with the wild card as the season goes on. But with Harper, I see a team that's winning this division.
With Harper there, the way your lineup just perfectly gets into place, if you don't have him, then it becomes that, to me, it becomes that Gabe, oh, well, let's try this, and he goes here, and let's do that. I mean, do you lead off McCutchen? Do you lead off Hernandez? Does Reese go to two if Harper's not here?
Right.
You know, with Harper, I think it's just boom, 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 and you're set to go. Whether Gabe will manage it that way, I don't know, but it does seem more solidified, obviously, if a Bryce Harper's in the lineup.
Yeah, I think in the National League, only four third basemen hit more home runs than Michael Franco last year.
I think he was underscoring him a little bit.
Yeah, right? He had a wrist problem, too.
But that's the thing. Yeah. Everybody else had, I think, about 100 more at-bats than he did as well.
Yeah, I think when healthy, and that's another thing. If Harper comes here, you're probably talking Franco hitting 7th, 6th, 7th, somewhere around there. Like, he could hit you 25 and drive you in 80-some as a 7-hole, 8-hole hitter.
Yeah.
Not 8-hole, 6 or 7-hole hitter.
So this might be an analytical stat for people that might blow their minds, but it's an easier one, in my opinion. And it's very simple. It's home runs to bat ratio, right? At bat to home run ratio. He was second in the National League among third basemen in that. So for a guy that would step up to the plate as few times as he did, he made it worth his time, made it worth our time with being able to.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.